You got your Bibles. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Romans chapter 13. And I want to read one verse of scripture. Now, if you're visiting here today, this can work for you, but let me help you. We're receiving members into Covenant Church. And if you want this to work and function, you have to stay around these anointings. Notice, why do a lot of people get healed in Benny Hinn's ministry? Because he has the anointing of miracle in his life. You notice nothing else happens there too much. That's not a derogatory statement. Notice that. His anointing is producing that. See, now, you know, he gives altar calls, no misunderstanding me, but what I'm saying is his anointing is in the gift of miracles and the working of miracles and healings. And some people say, well, he prayed me, I didn't receive it. Well, it's not Benny's fault, and it's probably not your fault. So you thought I was going to blame Benny and blame you. No. But you'd be surprised how many people say they're believing with you, but they're not believing at all. All right. And the Bible said, don't let anybody lay hands on you suddenly. Because things can be transferred. And doubt can easily be transferred. Yes. Now, Romans chapter 13, Paul writing to the church at Rome. And this is, and I accept what the Bible says. Verse 8 says, oh, no man anything. Now, I want you to underline the word anything. Except, there's always an exception to anything. To love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Amen. So you can never pay off the debt of love. You have to love everybody. I didn't say you have to like everybody. But you have to love everybody. Which is a vast difference. You love your children, but sometimes you don't like them. Let's be honest, because they do some stupid things. You love your husband? That's all I got to say. Ladies caught that real quick. But just sometimes, you just don't like them too much. I can tell when Kathy don't like me. She uses one word, go. She don't mind me going on the road. I may have done something to irritate her. See what I'm saying? Now, when Jesus said, owe no man anything. Now listen to what I'm about ready to say. You that are watching by television, if you get this on a DVD or whatever, I don't care if it's months later, the anointing will be on it to destroy your debt. So listen to me. The Bible said all scripture, I believe 2 Timothy 3:19, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So God gets inspired when you believe his word. Because it was through his inspiration that he said, owe no man anything. Did you see that? That scripture there means exactly the same in belief as John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In other words, the same God that wrote John 3:16 is the same God through the Apostle Paul that wrote Romans 13:8. In other words, you have to believe him if you're going to be what I call a Christian or what I call in Christ, not in Christ's. I have to establish that first. He said, if you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus rose from the dead, Bible said you'd be saved. That means exactly, if you believe that, salvation comes. What did the disciples preach? They preached this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord God was with him. That's the only message they had. So what are you preaching today, Peter? How God anointed Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Hey, Philip, what are you preaching today? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Now, if you look at that word doing good and look it up in the Greek, it means Christian philanthropy. Which means when you give to God, you are a philanthropist. Now, how did Jesus do all of that? God anointed him. Now, if Jesus had to be anointed, don't you think we need to be anointed? Amen. Amen. That was their message. Because the New Testament had not yet been wrote. Now, He says, oh, no man anything. When I saw that, I said, I don't think he means what he says. He says, I write what I mean. Amen. This is not open to the interpretation. I write what I mean. Now, I want you to write this down. We're going to start here. We shouldn't be debtors. We should be depositors. Write that down. We shouldn't be debtors. We should be depositors. Notice that depositors have a lot more power than debtors, or debtors, however you want to call it. Now, is that possible to live like that? Well, God can't lie. He says you can. Now, let me say this to add to this message. The problem with the church world, I'm talking to the church world here, and the secular world, you have done exactly what the secular world has done. You have picked up the economic package of the curse. Or after the fall, you work by the sweat of your brow. Now, God's original economic package for you was before the fall. Now, I'm going to do a little teaching here today. Now, you wrote that down? We shouldn't be debtors, but depositors. Why is that? Because when God started creating, Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was out form of void, darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord God moved upon the waters. I don't care how much God moves. Nothing happens until he says something. I don't care how much you move. Nothing happens until you say something. And, Ron, God said. And when he said, the actions of his word produced physical, tangible substance. Faith came out of the spirit world, evidence of it not seen, and produced physical manifestations that you could see. But no one was there to use it. Man had not yet been created. So notice as God goes through these days, at the last, now he creates everything, fish, whales, all the stuff, gorillas, chimpanzees, tigers, lions, that wouldn't bite you, that just loved you. Why? Because Satan had not yet touched that creation. Then he said, I believe verse 26, let us make man in our image. Let me make this announcement here. If you don't like me, you ain't going to like God. Lord, I just made some of you mad. Now, Lord Jesus. All right, if you want to do it black, if you don't like me, I want to let you know, Lord, you ain't going to like God. Oh, you ain't hearing me. If I walk over here, why? Did I do all right? Did I do all right? Hey, come on. All right, praise the Lord. All right. Any way you say it, it works. I have to love y'all because both of you are made in the image of God.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with your color. But it has everything to do with your image. Now notice, he had to create somebody to use the stuff. Notice he created to provision before he created the man or mankind. Which meant the economic package for Adam and Eve was to just do one thing, keep it. And dress it like you want. Faith, the only way faith doesn't work is if it's not kept. Notice that. That's the economic package God wants for you here. But the secular world picked up the economic package or stimulus package, however you want to call it, after the fall, worked by the sweat of your brow. Now, didn't the Lord say, Greg, that you were the righteousness of God? So you don't have to work for it, do you? You've been made righteous. Damn it, did he say that? Did he say that to you? That you were the righteousness? Are you sure he said that? Ron, are you sure that the Lord said that you were the righteousness of God? 100%. 100%. Pia? Huh? Did he, brother? So you don't have to work for it. Why do you work for your money? You wasn't supposed to work for that neither. Y'all should have shouted right there. Lord Jesus, I just gave you a lifetime vacation. Why are you working for your money? Well, you know, the Bible said, yeah, I know what the Bible said. Bible said, work by the sweat of your brow, but I understand that. But you picked that up after the curse. And you know what's so funny? You might have seen me the other day when I was on television. Everybody said, oh Lord, I need a miracle. Can I say something? I'm going to preach a little while here, then I'm going to pray for this thing. Listen. I like miracles, but I prefer them for you, not for me. Now, am I shocking you? I'd rather you have a miracle than me. Because as soon as you finish using that miracle, you're going to need another one. You are just like the house of Israel. Lord, Jew in the mind. Better help us out here, God. Wham! What is a miracle? God working for you. But God, Pia, did not give Adam and Eve a miracle. He gave them a blessing. Oh, Lord. He blessed them. Because you see, when you live in the blessing. Yeah. When you live in the blessing. Oh, you ain't hear me. Let me just. Come on, talk back to me now. When you live. Hey. In the blessing. Then you create miracles for others. Do you see that? All God wanted that couple to do is to live debt free. Because the blessing creates miracles. Now, do you hate miracles? No, but I prefer you to get them. Because if I live in the blessing, then I can walk up to a rich Apician and say, what you need? I come to make you an offer you can't refuse. Well, you know, I need Tammy to quit buying clothes. Okay, we'll pray. No, you can create miracles. So we have to establish that what I said first, that we must not be debtors, but depositors. What did God do with Adam and Eve? He deposited them into the Garden of Eden. He didn't say, now y'all sit down here because we're going to have a closing. And you're going to have to pay the closing cost because we ain't giving you this tree. There was not a mortgage in the Garden of Eden. Why is that? Because mortgage comes from the root word mortuary. You've heard me say it before. I have to say it again. Well, we get the word mortgage, mortuary. The word gauge means grip. So what is a mortgage? A death grip. Now, is it a sin to get one? No. I'm going to deal with that in a minute. But you see, you put yourself in on the weaker side, which is okay. It's not a sin. But you have it believed that you could go to the level of you being the lender. Now, God created provision before he created the man or mankind. How many of you have had children? Hold your hand up. Did your baby, when you brought it home from the hospital, did it have to go buy diapers? Did it formula? Did it clothes? A baby bed? Did it do that? Blankets, pillows, spit up stuff. You know that they don't spit up on you, whatever you call them little things. Yeah. Strollers. Did the baby buy the stroller? Car seat. Did the baby pay for the hospital bill? When you brought that baby home, that baby was debt free. You may have been in debt, but that baby was debt free. What are you saying? You provided the provision before the child came. You had a shower. Why did they call it a shower? The old hymn, showers of blessings. You just praying somebody buy you something you ain't got to buy. And you go to the store and put your name on that. Huh? And you say, I believe in God for this and this and this. And people want to bless you. For the baby. So other people are making provisions for your baby. And the baby ain't even born yet. Where did you learn that at? Where did you come up with that wonderful idea? God. You imitated God. You and your wife got together and said, we're going to have a baby. We're going to make this child in our image, in our likeness. That's why you see, you start checking all the parts. Got my nose, got my hair, got my hands. Wah! Got your temper. You did exactly the same thing God did when he created us. With one exception. When the fall came, even through the curse, I'm going to make provision for this baby. And you did it with something called debt. Now, you ready to get into this? Amen. Write this down. First, we have to understand this. Write it down. It is possible to get out of debt and live debt free. You have to establish that in your heart. That it is possible to get out of debt and live debt free. Do you see that? You have to know that. Not just believe that. Well, I'm believing for that. Well, I don't matter where you're believing. You got to know it. See, when you know in whom you have believed, then you get something called persuaded. You see what I'm saying? It is possible to get out of debt and live debt free. Once you establish that in your thinking, then the ministering spirits of God can go forth and cause favor to come to you. Now, we have to define debt. The title of this message is Defining Debt and Destroying It. What is debt? Is when you owe something to someone else on terms. Now, you can use the Harvard, Yale, and Princeton way of economic understanding, which means using other people's money. And that's all great until it goes south, until it turns. Then all of a sudden, their economic package is not working no more. I define debt is that I owe something. Now, you can use it if you have liquid. Let me give you an example. I had a person ask me, Brother Jesse, is a lease debt? Well, it's a note, yes. But if you have the finance to pay off the lease, amen, and you use their money, amen, and you're using your money, and if it all goes south and blows up, all you do is take your money, pay off the lease. You're actually debt free, even though you're paying that on a lease note, because you can cancel anything out at any given time. You're doing business. Amen. Do you see my point? But you have to establish, there is a higher level. You have to establish that you don't never have to borrow. You have got to convince yourself that that is true when you got a pile of debt as big as a house. See, I have convinced myself, many, that God can't lie. He told me, Donna, to owe no man anything. Well, okay. I take that just as strong as thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the same God talking. Are you understanding me? Now, why don't you like debt? Write this down. Debt spreads like a cloud over the whole firmament of man's being. It touches every avenue of your life. How many times you've had what I call a sweet romantic session with your lady? That's supposed to be your wife. Amen. And everything is working well and doing good.
Yes, Yeah, you're right.
And right in the midst of all of it, you go, oh, we're going to have to struggle to pay that note. Didn't even have that on your mind. All of a sudden, something come up. Now, I'm using this because this is called life. I mean, you didn't have that. You love each other. You're just enjoying each other. You're going out to dinner, and you go, ooh, Jesus. She said, I think I'm going to have that big 22-ounce prime rib. And you look at that, and it says $29.95. Oh, Jesus, is that for the potato, too? Do I get the potato with it? No, the potato, it's a la carte. Oh, Lord Jesus. Here you are, trying to enjoy yourself, and debt is touching you. Debt, write it down, spreads a cloud over the whole firmament of man's being. Why is that? Write this down. Debt is a destroyer of happiness and a father of stress. Debt is a destroyer of happiness and a father of stress. If you want stress like you've never had before, just get bills on your head. And you know, you can cancel your phone and they're going to still get to you. Don't shout me down when I read. Some of y'all say, oh, cancel my phone. I'll talk about it. They still going to find you. Because it's a destroyer of happiness and a father of stress. That's why God didn't cause debt in the garden. He wanted him to be happy. Amen. Without stress. Yes. There are people who have died of heart attacks, not because they had clogged arteries or that they ate wrong, but because of such terrific amounts of stress. Took them out. Isn't that amazing? So I define debt as anything that you can't pay. That's debt. Now, some people use this definition. Well, if I pay it every 30 days, I'm not in debt. That is a Princeton, Yale, Harvard way of thinking. Nothing wrong with it, but you miss 1 month. A revelation is coming. Now, notice you pay the interest before you pay the principal. Why? Because they don't want to be in debt to you. You pay me my money. And they're so smart, they set it up where you can actually do it. So you keep them in business. Do you know you can go to Sears, Dillard's, or whatever, buy a washer and a dryer and a freezer and a microwave oven and whatever, washing machine, this and everything, and pay $35 a month? For 477 years. That is the economy of the curse. So debt spreads like a cloud over the firmament of man's being, and debt is a destroyer of happiness and a father of stress. I like to use the Old Testament connotation. It's a hard taskmaster. Now, I'm talking about debt. I'm not against borrowing money, but I really believe if you live by faith, decree by faith, there'll come a time when you will be the lender. That seems impossible now, but let's face it. Some of you sitting in this church and your mama said, that's impossible. That kid will never go to church. So there's a lot of impossible things that happen in your life that you thought would never happen. Y'all enjoying this? Now, write this down. This is very important. I took this out of my, this particular point out of my partner letter. It's not a sin to borrow money. Everybody look at me. Let me say it again because everybody goes, people going to pick up this message. Oh, he just thinks it's a sin. It's not a sin to borrow money. Why? But if you do get into that, you should work as hard as possible to get out of it. Why? It's about personal power. It's all about personal power. It's not a sin to borrow money. If God told me to go borrow money tomorrow, Tommy, I'd go borrow it. I wouldn't have to repent. But I'd work as hard as I could to get out of it. Because you see, It's about personal power. I don't like that rope holding on me. Now, thank God that we have institutions that can do that kind of stuff. Now, and if you find institutions that are willing to lend you a lot of money real quick, you better check those interest rates and everything else and all these hidden costs. In other words, don't read the contract. Say, I just want the fine print. Do you know every mortgage got a clause in it that says they can call that mortgage done in 30 days? Am I correct? You're real estate, right? You just signed one for 30 years, but they can call your mortgage in 30 days. I never forget first time I borrowed, we borrowed money. Remember we went to Hibernia. Remember that? And I never forget, who was that brother? He was a real sweet man. He retired. Mr. who? Mr. Barnett. I don't know if he's still living or not. Precious man. I'm going to read this thing. He said, ain't no use to read it, Mr. DePrentice. There's nothing in there for you. It's all for us. Well, he wasn't lying. That's the first bank person that told me the truth. But you know what? Hibernia held up to their obligation. You pay this, we got no problems. That was so wonderful. He said, they ain't used to read it because there ain't a thing in there for you. It's not a sin to borrow money, but if you do get into debt, you should work as hard as possible to get out of debt. It's about personal power. I love that personal power. I love to be in control of my life, spiritually, physically, and financially. I like that. I like that. It's such a blessing to be able to be in control. Now, for you that are watching by television, I want you to listen to me. In just a minute, we ask people to bring their bills with them. I was praying there wouldn't be no 18-wheeler trucks out there. I'd have to bring it in sacks. They're your bills. You made them. Well, I got to live. I agree 100%. But you see, you haven't convinced yourself or disciplined yourself, because I'm going to get to a part of this message you're not going to like in just a few minutes, because it's going to require personal power on your part and discipline. God just let me win the lottery. I'll get out of debt and I'll buy you a car, budget. You'll be broke in 3 years and probably in jail. Like some of these people, how can you go to $100 million in liquid cash in 3 years and you're broke, busted, and in jail? Because you never learned discipline. If you don't respect money, money will kill you. You must master money instead of money mastering you. You must be superior to that power instead of driven by it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have to learn discipline. I'm getting ahead of myself right there. See, that's why God just don't let it drop in your, because you're going to blow the fire out of it. Don't know how to handle something. My Lord. Write this down. Now, I'm talking about if you go borrow money. Listen to this. Write this down. Don't let someone's financial deal for you set your future. Don't let someone's financial deal for you set your future. Take control immediately. Change the rules of the deal. Make your own plan. I'm going to say it over again. Don't let someone's financial deal for you set your future. You are the architect of your life. Take control immediately. Change the rules of the deal. Make your own plan. Example, you go to the bank or the lending institution or mortgage company that whatever that you're using. They say, you got to put down a certain amount, 5%, 10%, whatever. Usually a bank sometimes require, if you want the cheapest interest rates, you put down more money or something like that. 10%, 15%, maybe 20%. I don't know. And you will pay $1,165 a month for six. You notice they never say 30 years. Because you'll run out the place. They'll say 60 months. Well, 60 months. That ain't nothing. Is it 60 months, 30 years, or is that 15 years? That's 5 years. Well, that's why I don't cut deals. You know? They give it to you in the month. How much is 30 years? 360 months. That's what I meant. 360 months. 360 months. But that even sounds smaller than 30 years. So, and say that's all you can afford. Okay, I understand. But he immediately changed the rules of the contract. Ask him, say, if I took out a 15-year loan, how much money would I save? Oh, you're going to save almost 50% of your interest. What about a 10-year loan? Oh, but your note's going to go from $1,165 to $2,368 and blah, 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 blah. Well, I can't afford that. But you see, you're already setting yourself up to change the plan. Instead of just taking what you get and that's it. See, now you begin to change the plan and change your future. You tell you, and they say, you know, if I put an extra $100 a month on this mortgage, then, my God, I can knock out, what, 50?
Okay. A year, you knock out 21 years.
If you pay one extra note a year, you knock out 21 years.
No. It's 21 years. It would be instead only of 21 years instead of 30.
Yeah, okay. In other words, it would be 21 years instead of 30. Just knocking out one note in a year, right? You'd go from a 30-year mortgage to a 21 years. Now, just think if you did $100 a month or if you did $200, whatever. You see, even though you signed the contract, you are changing the deal. You're now starting to think for yourself instead of someone else thinking for you.
Amen.
You follow? Let me say it again. Some of you right now, don't let someone's financial deal for you set your future. Take control immediately. Change the rules of the deal. Make your own plan. That's what we did. When we bought our first house, we signed a 7.5% mortgage. This was 1975 for 15 years. And how we was going to pay that note, Kathy? $104.73 a month. $104.73. I never forgot. God, am I ever going to make this? A car note then was $62 to $75 a month. It's all relative. Me and Kathy going, But I made $1.75 an hour. So $104 a month, a lot of money. Write this down. Without the pressure of bills, you are able to do more for the kingdom and yourself. Without the pressure of bills, you're able to do more for the kingdom and yourself. Now, I'm going to get to the point why you don't have to use the bank in a minute. Just give me a chance. Let me say it again. Without the pressure of your bills, you are able to do more for the kingdom and yourself. Why? Because you see, all of a sudden, the father's stress is destroyed in your life. You're happy. Your children are happy. There's just something about being debt-free that just the pressure's gone. It's the good life. All of a sudden, you're not working for someone else anymore, keeping them up. You're now working for yourself. And even though you're working for a company. You see what I'm saying? Now, everything you're making is coming to you. Write this down. Now, some people believe in bankruptcy. Thank God that we live in a country that we don't have debtor prisons. Because, buddy, I want to, way back in England, they kill you, put you in debt. Listen to it. To not pay your debts is a sure road to the extinction of confidence and the destruction of respect. Write it down. People getting used to that now. You see, you're a person of your word. You're a person of your word. Now, thank God we have laws that they can't put you in jail over that. And they may have charged you too much and maybe they were too greedy, blah, blah, this and that. Okay. But you still, it all boils down to you want God to do his word. So God expects you to do your word. Let me say it again. This is some of the parts you're not going to like. To not pay your debts is a sure road to the extinction of confidence and the destruction of respect. Psalms 37:21, we know what it says. The wicked borrow and payeth not again. God says, if you borrow and not pay, you're wicked. It's a wicked act. I told you I wasn't going to like this part.
Amen.
But it's in there. Amen. Because it destroys your respect. And the confidence that other people would have in you. Say it again. To not pay your debts is a sure road to the extinction of confidence and the destruction of respect. So the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. Now, if that has happened to you, you know, you repent and go on with it. Thank God that we have laws that you can wipe those things off the book and you start over. Maybe you overextended yourself. And you know, both people did it wrong. You may have overextended yourself, and the people that lent you the money overextended themselves, but they want to blame you for all of it. But they were just as much a part of it as you were. You see what I'm saying? That's why we had all this mortgage debacle back in the 80s, the SNL debacle, you know, savings and loans thing. I mean, people just throwing money away like that. And the government had to come in and honor it and you know, because the whole economy would have caved. It's amazing to me that when you get a major investment bank to go under that at stock at $173 a share, drops down to 10 cents or what, to a dollar or something like that. How can the government find $30 billion to just bail out? But the $30 billion would probably take care of this financial mess. This mortgage thing and things of that nature. Oh, but let me tell you something about the rich. They all want to pay heavy taxes after they get rich. Once they've accumulated a bunch of money, then they'll say, well, you know, let's just go ahead. Let's just go ahead. I don't think any of those people, when they were trying to make a living, ever said, I want to pay the highest tax rate. But after they got $100 million sitting in a bank, or they're making $100 million, and you, what? Okay, because the rest of the money, they can give it away, because they're never going to be able to use all they got. Beware of politicians that change as they make more money and want to do more for you. But before they made that money, oh, no. And, oh, if they want to pay so much taxes, why don't they just send it in? Why don't they just send it in? But buddy, if it's a 33% bracket, that's all they're paying. Figure it out. And they'll get up there and say, I don't care. I don't mind paying 50%. Well, did you cut an extra check? No. So to not pay your debts is a sure road to the extinction of confidence and the destruction of respect. Psalms 37:21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not. So I made up my mind years ago. It's one thing about my mother and father. Mama told me, because they had a financial problem. They overextended themselves, and of course my mom's in heaven today, and had to claim bankruptcy. Now, they shouldn't have done that. But I remember it affected Mama so much that really, she really learned the lesson after it happened. Because, you know, everybody wants things. I know that. That's common sense. And nothing wrong with it. But you see, and all those provisions were provided for you. But the reason why you couldn't get them, because you are operating under the economic package of the curse instead of the economic package of God's will, which is the Garden of Eden, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, for all mankind. You see what I'm saying? What does debt do? Write this down. Debt robs you of independence. Debt robs you of independence. Now you're not no longer independent, you have become dependent. It robs you of that. It takes away, as I said earlier, your personal power. Now, Deuteronomy 28:12 says, thou shalt lend unto many nations and thou shalt not borrow. Now, God said that to the seed of Abraham, which was Israel. Well, me and you, Ron, are the seed of Abraham. God is saying, Ron, Fortune, and Jesse, the planets, you shall lend and not buy to nations, not just to a person. Oh, we're going to have to have some money, Ron. When a nation come up to you and say, Mr. Fortune, can you extend to us a loan of $4 billion, $9 billion? God said to nations, the seed of Abraham. We're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Go look at the book of Galatians. Go read it. So debt robs you of your independence. When we and Kathy got debt free, we've been debt free so long, we didn't realize how heavy the burden was until we got out from under it. You get used to carrying it, you know. And it goes generation after generation after generation after generation. That's why a lot of people can never get out of welfare. You see, because they go from generation to generation to generation. After a while, they get used to wearing it, and it beats on it. But boy, you find someone that gets out of welfare. Oh, you go, you see them, they're just totally different. They didn't realize how heavy that thing was, which was wrong, man. My Lord, if you're a mother and a father that love your children, I really believe every mother and father wants their children to be better off than they were. I would think so. I mean, you know, you should want to if you don't. So debt robs you of independence. I wanted to be independent, and me and Kathy were dependent when we got debt free. I'll never forget the day. We went, we don't owe nobody nothing. Now, we did it through giving and through discipline. There's only two things you have to do. I want you to write this point down. Once you pay off a debt, you've just increased your income. You hadn't got a raise. You didn't get a raise. But you knocked that car, no doubt. All of a sudden, you got $400 to $600 a month that you didn't have before. You knock out that mortgage thing, and whatever it is, $1,000 a month, $900, I don't know, whatever it is, could be more. You've already increased your income without making one extra dollar. Once you pay off a debt, you've just increased your income. I said, Kathy, I ain't had a raise on this job. And we can go buy something. Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's the part you ain't gonna like. I'm getting on that part. You know something? I better get quiet. Before you were shouting a while ago. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, but yeah. Discipline means exactly what it says, discipline. Number one, how do I get out of debt? How do I destroy it now? Cut out all unnecessary expenses. Write it down. Cut them out. You're working on something. Cut out all unnecessary expenses. Number two, if you don't need it, don't buy it. Boy, I ain't got a one happy face on a woman yet. I see all these women like look at some of the men. Thank you, Jesus. Tell him to say it again, Lord. Number one, cut out all unnecessary expenses. Now, if you're debt free, you can erase this part of the message. But if you erase it and you forget, you'll be back in it. Cut out all unnecessary expenses. If you don't need it, don't buy it. Number three, live within your income and never exceed it. Look at me. Never. Live within your income and never exceed. Now look at me. I'm going to go over this and you can write it again. Listen to me. This is not for life. These disciplinary actions. This is only for a season. This is not that long. Remember, you just signed for 30 years. You can knock this baby out. It's only for a season. Oh, and don't forget that while you're in that season, if you're good, hard working, you're going to make more money. So you're knocking out debt and increasing your income. You're getting a raise. You're still not doing, you're still disciplining yourself. All of a sudden, your money level is rising. Now, don't let that fall into temptation. Well, sweetheart, we're God. Well, no, you ain't finished yet. The fat lady ain't sung yet. I know you want to break that. And that's what they betting on. It's called sale. For sale. Not for free. For sale. Let me go over this again. Once you pay off a debt, you just increased your income. One, cut out all unnecessary expenses. Check that off. If you don't need it, don't buy it. Check it off. Live within your income and never exceed it. Check that off. This is only for a season. This is only for a season. Me and Kathy, when we decided to get debt free, I'll never forget, we bought our first coffee table. Debt free, we paid cash for it. People would come over, thought we were the craziest people ever walked in shoe leather. I said, I want to show you a debt-free coffee table. Now, everything else we got debt on, son. Lord Jesus, got debt everywhere. Look at this coffee table. Isn't that baby beautiful? And Sears don't own it no more. I ain't paying no interest on it. Mine. I never forget when we bought our first couch and sofa set. It's on sale. So I saved that sale money. I didn't have to pay that. Pay cash for it. So I had no interest on it. There was no $19 a month for 500 years and all that kind of stuff. People came in, I said, sit your butt on something that's debt free. They say, what? Just sit down. This is debt free. Throw your leg up there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's how we started. Cassie said, we need a new wash and dry. All right, baby. We're going to believe God. The awful price of $219 for the set. This is way back when, man. The set. Went down there and said, we want a Sears Kenmore washing machine, dry. We want that set. Man, people come over. Carol and Cindy Bunch. Remember them people? Wonderful people. Come on back here. I'm going to show you a debt-free washing machine and dryer. Put on a spin cycle. It'll just make you feel good. Let's go on there. Glory to God. So now we had washing machine, dryer, debt-free. We had the coffee tables and the end tables. Sofa set, and we headed to the bedroom. Because, you know, you want your bedroom to look nice. You don't want your house to look wonderful when you get to the bedroom. Good Lord. Potato sack for the spread and all that. No. Potato sack, you know. Oh, a little itchy. Yeah, a little itchy. Little scratchy, little itchy. We went down to that store, and we bought us a bedroom set. Watch this. We went from $219 to $3,200. Paid cash. Man said, y'all gonna pay cash? Cash. Are you serious? Don't you know you could do this for $36.75 a month? I said, no, we don't want to owe no man anything. Well, man, we're gonna deliver it for you today. I said, we'll take it today. You should have seen us. Me and Kathy just laying in the bed. We wanted somebody to take a picture of us. Somebody take a picture of us. Lord Jesus. Man, I went to put my keys on the, don't put your keys on. See, debt-free stuff got a voice. Now, if it's in debt, scratch that sucker. Don't make no difference. We'll call them up and say, y'all sent me a scratch set. Lie, you fry. Oh, Lord Jesus. I finally found out what a doily was. Kathy started covering stuff with doilies. She said, I'm going to get some doilies. I said, what is a doily? It's a very expensive piece of cloth with holes in it. That's a doily. So I could lay stuff and not scratch her furniture. But I wasn't finished wrong. I got everything in that house debt-free. Dining room table. You know, it didn't take long. Because you see, when I got my check, it became mine. It was mine, right? I had hundreds of dollars. Well, my Lord, if I just saved 3 months, bam! And let's wait for a sale. Bam! If I'd have done their system, I'd have been in debt a lot longer. All of a sudden, then I realized my season was over. And then I walked outside. And I said, Kathy, one day I'm going to that automobile dealership. And we're going to buy us a car. And we're going to pay cash for it. And we did. God, man, driving around a debt-free car. You burn all the gas you can burn. You go visit people you don't even like. Just drive by. Bonk, bonk. You don't like them, but you showed them that car. Man, you get your lean back. You start stepping it right. Come on back. Your wife don't get out the car. Wait for you to come open the door. And you're so stupid. What's the matter? The door don't work? Because you hadn't been taught etiquette, manners. God help us. We did it, Kathy. We did it. God's help. But the discipline part was only one small factor to it. I'm going to get to this part now. Some of you are going to like this part and some of you are not. And I'll never forget when I pulled that car. I opened up the door for Kathy to go in the house, and I backed down the steps. This is the big one. Let me walk around this mountain.
All right.
Lord says 7 times. I better hurry up. Yeah, let me walk around this mountain. Yeah. Wait a minute. This mountain too small.
Amen.
So instead of telling God what I had,
amen,
or telling him what I have, I told him what I wanted.
Amen.
I found me a house that I could almost lust over.
Amen.
My God. A house. If I could have a house like that. I wasn't lusting for that person's house. But I'm just a man. So I had to put a vision in front of it. But now I got all this evidence. But everybody said I couldn't. Mama said I was going to work for Sears all the days of my life. You know, you just the way Mama did. That's the way it was. Oh, and I'll never forget the day when I said, say unto this house mortgage, be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea. I don't doubt in my heart. But I believe those things that I say, it shall come. No, it did come to pass. Now, if you think it was all discipline, only 20% of it was discipline. Let's get to this point. Y'all enjoying this? Never eat or spend your seed. If you do, it destroys your future. Never eat or spend your seed. It destroys your future. Your seed is the debt buster. Before I pray over your bills today for debt cancellation, I'm going to ask you to plant seed. Not so I can get money. I don't take the money. It's the debt buster. My own brother-in-law couldn't get over how I could be a tither. Jesse, you could use that money. This is when he was an atheist, now he's a pastor. But we knew that the seed would produce the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold. We refused to not, we would not touch our giving to God. Because he provides the provision before he provides the man. So let me say it again. Never eat or spend your seed. It destroys your future. Your seed is your debt buster. That's why I tell you to tithe, not just so we can have money here. I can make money, Tommy. I know how to do that. You know what I'm saying? But it's why am I preaching this? I'm telling you, all you people listening to me, if you stick with Covenant Church, you stick with us. You believe God. If you're willing to stand forever, you will not have to stand very long. You won't have to stand very long. I know it's impossible now, but it was impossible. That's not it. Impossibilities are easy to do. When you make up your mind, having done all to stand there for.
Amen.
And if you will understand forever, you ain't gonna have to stand very long.
That's right. Amen.
Let me, I forgot this point. Write it down. Avoid depending on yours or someone else's speculation about how to get rich quick. If it's too good to be true, it is. Let me say it again. Avoid depending on yours or someone else's speculation about how to get rich quick. There's always somebody got a deal. If it's too good to be true, it is. In other words, if this is, well, you can get rich quick, but then why don't you do it? Why are you asking me for money? Let the elevator go to the top. We were driving the other day to go preach for Pastor Mike Mealy at White Dove. We prayed for the Violas. We drove by a billboard. Remember that?
Viola Holmes.
I said, Kathy, look at that. Believe in God. I said, Lord, bless the Violas. Man, he had a figure on there. 69 something square foot or whatever, 69, 70, I can't remember exactly what it was. Man, me and Kathy, and it was, the devil didn't want us to see the billboard. Raining cats and dogs. Oh, but I can see figures through cats and dogs. I said, oh, Lord, all I got to do is agree with that billboard. And someone's going to have a nice home. I've been holding you up, Martin Celestine. I've been holding you up. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to pray over the bills. I didn't bring any. I don't have none. So what I want to do as a point of contact Now, this is what the Lord told me to do, because they're all talking about all his possession and stuff. I'm going to ask every contractor that's in here that brought their bills to come and let me use your bills as a point of contact. Now, if you need some help with a sack or something like that, or whatever, because I don't have none. I didn't bring nothing with me but my Bible. Avoid depending on yours or someone else's speculation about how to get rich quick. If it's too good to be true, it is. So I never did eat my seed, because I realized that my tithe, my offering, was my seed was my debt buster. I may have done this here before, I don't know. Everybody look at me. Can y'all see me? Okay. This here's a dollar. Now you look in your bot, you look in your, let me get an old one. I always put a dollar bill on the top of everything so Kathy don't know what's underneath. Man, a man got to do what a man got to do. That's all I'm going to say about that. This is a dollar bill. Now, you look at your wallet, you may have a dollar bill and say, that's my money. Oh, is it? Really? Mm-mm. No, you hadn't paid your mortgage, which is about 40% of it. Now, that's your money. Don't laugh at me there, Tammy. Oh, the car note. I thought this was your dollar. Oh, no. God. Car note. That's about 20%. Now, that's how much of your dollar is. Oh, the kids. The kids. You stinking kids. Now, that's how much of your dollar got. Oh, wait, it's your tithe and offering. Oh, wait, you don't believe tithe in the New Testament. So we're going to tear that one in half here. Now, this is what belongs to you. To buy groceries, clothes, and stuff. Now, 100-fold on this ain't very much. My Lord, that ain't very much. Now, this is your seed, so you give your seed. Well, Lord, I'm going to just give you a little seed on it. Now, if you take one of these, that's 100. Well, it's just... Oh! Why didn't you do that over the dollar? This is a real $100 bill. Ah! Look at some of y'all. I need healing right now. Why didn't you do it over the dollar? Oh. But once you get 100-fold, say you sold a dollar, you get 100-fold. Well, I got $100, but I need more than $100. So if I take this and plant it, then 100-fold is 10,000. Now, sweetheart, if you put a piece of tape on this, it'll spend anywhere in New Orleans, Louisiana, and that's $100 for you, sweetheart. Amen. Yeah. Okay? Just tell your mom and then put a piece of tape on. Because the government, I tell you what, Zia's will take it today. Just put a piece of tape on. They'll take a tow-up one, don't make that. Or go to the bank tomorrow and get you a brand new fresh credit. Notice you went, You can do what you want with that dollar, Tim. What you want with that? Do you see my point? Well, I got 100-fold on a dollar. I got $100, and hey, that's great. And you didn't mind me tearing up that dollar. But when I tore that $100, I tell you what. Some of you Baptists spoke in tongues. Some of you almost cussed. Blank, can it blank? Look what he did. No. I made it a C. Now, sweetheart, you're going to spend $100 on whatever you want. But see, you a good soil. So I'm going to get, because of that $100, $10,000. That's a fact, Ron. That's a fact, Pia. She's good soil. Now, certainly I don't ever have to live out of debt. I mean, I don't ever have to be in debt if every time I'm giving 100, I'm getting 10 grand. And then I give 1,000, getting 100. And I give 100,000, getting 10 million. Oh, I know what y'all, I can't believe that. Well, just stay broke. My seed is my debt buster. And we never did take our seed away from God. And we learn discipline, dedication, commitment. And you will not have to stand as long as me and Kathy did. Because when we first started doing this, Greg, people thought we was crazy. We couldn't find nobody to agree with us. But I got a Ron Fortune, who's a good friend of mine. He agreed and believed for the 100-fold return with me. Yeah. But in those days, man, you said that. Now, don't be stupid. You live in a fallen world. Well, get up. Amen. I may live in a fallen world, but I hadn't fallen. Amen. Micah says, when I fall, I shall arise. Amen. Do you see that? I'm amazed at the gasp of the $100 tear. Now, if I'd have had, they don't make $10,000 bill. If I'd have tore up a $10,000 bill, we'd have had to bury people. Kenny, you'd have to be the escort to bring him to the graveyard. Jesus, help us, Lord. And did you know how many times have I been given $10,000, Kathy? Jesus, innumerable amounts of times. How many times my ministry's... Oh, I can't even count. Because not only do me and Kathy give us, but Jesse Brown's ministries is a guy. Now when you say something like, would you send me something? No, then now you made me your source. See, you're not willing to go discipline yourself. I know it's a little late, but it ain't too late to get out of debt. Amen. It's 10 minutes to 12. You see what I'm saying? That's my point. Now when God does what he says, seem like get on this side, make me want to move a little bit. I walk over there by Kathy and I just start walking straight. Like a white person. But I get around the brothers. It's wonderful. I know some of you think, you just gave away $100. Didn't hurt at all. I got 10,000 coming. Oh, excuse me, personally. Don't get mad at me. I just did what God said, plant seed in good soil. Amen. I saw her and the Lord said, that's good soil. Amen. And she's thinking, hurry up, I got to get out of here. Mama, go get some tape. We're going to spend this baby today. What a blessing. It'll go show me a little. So thank you, Lord. Holy Ghost, just somebody gonna give me $10,000 personally. I'm not just saying it to push. Jesus. You know, the Lord just told me, he said, I'm good, I'm Jesse. I said, boy, you're good, God. You're just so good. Because him and his word is forever. Now. It's time to receive the morning tithe and offering. The debt buster. Oh, Lord. It's hard to say in English here, Ron. I tell you, the anointing of God's so strong. The hundredfold anointing is here. The anointing to destroy debt is here. Now, as you give this morning, you make your tithe and offering out to Covenant Church. You want to give to one of our projects. we're believing God for 300. In fact, I talked to, where's David Deloach? I don't know if he's in here or not. David, are you in here? He might have been flying somewhere or doing something.
He was in the choir.
He was in the choir. Okay, that's David back there. He told me, we had a miracle happen to us Friday night. I mean, me and David, I like to fell out. I mean, nobody had ever done this, and they just might have just walked up, not to me personally, but said, for the ministry, and gave me $15,000. I went, huh? And David said, but just, I was believing God for more money to come in the aviation department. Because between these things with this, we're doing this C-check on the plane. Well, with the gear and the thing, that's about $350,000. We have to do that because the FAA requires it. Do we have an ABS-B, David? You know, we're going to have to get one of them too. That way we can see other planes. Because I saw something on the FAA this morning that everybody's going that way. So I said, okay, we'll have the best equipment money can buy so we don't get up there and run into somebody. Well, we got to believe God over and above the operating budget, just $350,000 just to do that. That ain't counting all the other stuff that the place needs. So the seeds, if you want to give into that project, you're welcome to. And if not, that's fine. But I want you to name your seed today. See, I like to tell people where their money goes because that's called honesty and integrity. And it's not just to fly Jesse the Planet around. Let me tell you something about Jesse. He liked being in New Orleans. I got to eat at my favorite restaurant, Mr. B's, with some good friends yesterday. It was Richie's birthday, and we couldn't figure out how old Richie was. Man said, how old's the guy? I said, I don't know. I think he's, well, he might be 41, 42 years old. And I love Richie, you know. He said, Jesse, I'm 48, but people say I don't look it. I said, you don't have no wrinkles at all. Glory to God. What a blessing. And so we got to eat a little lunch with him. It was a blessing. And I blessed my waiter. I was in a blessing mode. Well, right now, this is a blessing mode. Get your seed. Come on. Get your seed. Now, if you want to give the JDM, you write it out to JDM or Covenant Church. This is your seed buster. And as soon as we receive this, and I'm not going to have any, I'm going to keep talking when you just play something solid. I know we might have had an offering special, but I don't want to break this flow. Now, hold your offering up to the Lord. I want to pray over it. Now, is that y'all seed buster? That's the debt buster, right? Is that it, Kenny? Okay, can I hold my hand on that one? And Ron, can I hold my hand on that? Ooh, Lord, the anointing of God is so strong here. Lord, I thank you for this offering. I thank you for that $350,000 over that budget because that's your equipment and not mine. But Lord, I wouldn't mind $1 million so I could just go spend $1 million next week on buying more television. Well, I can maybe go into China more and get more people saved. Because right now they're thinking Olympics, God, and I sure could use that money to go in and buy that time. Jesus, I lay my hands as a point of contact on these debt busters. These are the seeds. This may be tithe and offering and whatever they're giving. And to everyone that's in this building, Lord, that this will be a great offering because you see, we're naming it as a debt busting seed. And Lord, you said that's one of the 8 things to believe for. So we decree and declare it now in the name of Jesus. We release that anointing of God today over the sea. Come forth with 30, 60, and 100-fold by the authority and the power of Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ushers, go ahead and receive that offering. I am saying it under the prophetic anointing that if people will believe what I preach today, there will come a time in their life and not too far in the distant future of I'm not owing anybody anything. And Tina, you one of them. I talked to Tina, husband back there. Tina said, man, we doing what you said. And it'll only be for a season. Oh, I like best sugar. Yeah, Lord, you know what? I'm going to make the devil mad and the church world mad. We're going to get everybody debt free. We're going to declare Sunday of the best dress up you ever saw in your life. I got that. This is what the Lord, because they only go by what they see, Greg. We are going to have a Sunday. That all depends on us believing. Standing on the word. That you'll be able to go out and buy the finest outfit you ever had. And the first place you ought to wear to be at God's house. And you'll do it with other people's debt money. That's now yours. And we'll just come out and I'll have the cameras just pan everywhere and say, Look at all these debt-free people. Don't they dress good, Lord Jesus? And people say, where y'all going to a wedding? I say, no, we're going before God with our best on. And celebrating debt-free. And I'm going to have your little kids walk down. Some of them maybe have tuxedos on. Little girls and their little formals. I mean, dressed to the max. See, and they're going to go, we're going to show the devil that this is our planet. And when you get tired of someone else spending your money, driving your car, and living in your house, you're going to get serious with this. Because it belongs to you. Give the Lord a hand clap for that.